The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. Now, as they came near to the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was sitting at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while that man was talking to us on the road, while Jesus opened the scriptures to us?" And in that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. What are you discussing with each other as you walk along? Because I typically follow the Revised Common Lectionary, the set of readings that are assigned, this comes on a 3-year cycle, and we have repeated patterns in what scripture lessons we hear each week and each year. You can come to expect me to say that when it's time for Advent, you'll hear some of the "Prepare the Way of the Lord" stuff. And we'll hear Mary's Magnificat, her song glorifying God and what God has done and making her to bear the Christ child for the world. Now, when it's Lent, we hear a bit more of that, "Prepare the way of the Lord." But this time, it's John the Baptist clad in camel hair. There's also some stuff about being tempted by Satan in the wilderness before heading into the time in which we hear about all the gory details of Jesus' final days of walking among us as mere mortals. Now we make it to Easter, where we hear about the empty tomb. Christ is risen, hallelujah. And the first preachers of the resurrection were the women. All right. Whew. If I teach you one thing, that's it, right? Then there's more that I teach, don't worry. We have some visitors here who are probably like, "Is that it? Is that all she teaches them?" But that's okay. Then we get to the disciples in the upper room, and we hear from who? Who was questioning? Thomas. Thomas, right? We blame doubting Thomas, but it's Thomas the twin. And then we get to this story that is affectionately known as the Road to Emmaus. Now, it's one of the lessons that we hear on the third Sunday of Easter of year A of our current year of that lectionary cycle, that three-year cycle in which we get the readings. So we hear Road to Emmaus in this year. We hear it in year B, that's next year. Now, we hear a different story in year C, but it is the assigned reading for if you have an Easter night service. Now, if you decide to have an Easter night service, I'm busy. Because while Christ has risen from the dead, pastors have fallen by the time you get to Easter night, so I will not be here for an Easter night service. But year C, if you would like to, you can hear the Road to Emmaus story again on Easter night. I will be on my couch. Go with God. Blessings. But we hear the Road to Emmaus story almost yearly because, like Thomas's story and like Mary's story, it is one of those stories in which we hear about people having their first encounter with Christ, and in particular, with a post-resurrection Christ. It's one of the first ways in which Jesus' friends are trying to make sense of life without him in flesh and blood, but in story and memory only. It's exactly what we're doing, only many years later. The journey of following Christ, Jesus Christ, post-resurrection, is exactly what it means to be people of faith in the present age. Each time we gather together, whether on Sunday morning for worship, or on a Friday night for an almost lock-in, or Tuesday morning for Bible study, we are walking the road to Emmaus. We are discussing with each other as we walk along in our lives what has happened, what we've seen, what do we know. We tell the stories of Jesus of Nazareth, of how he was handed over to death, of the women at the tomb on the Easter morning early in the day, and so on. That we break the bread, drink the vine, right, the grape juice or the wine, we eat the meal, and we are reconnected with Jesus Christ yet again. But the road to Emmaus isn't quite that simple. I mean, yes, I would love it if our Christian vocation was just to show up on Sunday morning, shake a few hands, kiss a few babies, tell a few stories, eat some bread, and go home. Neat and tidy, right? Wouldn't that be great if that's what it meant to be a person of faith? You just come and you get your little like, woo, I got my Jesus on Sunday and I am ready for everything. Now, maybe you all have that experience, but I don't. Now, I've told you several times that I am tempted as soon as I walk out of these doors, sometimes even on the 3-minute drive to my house. It's usually because of the traffic circles, but I am tempted to figure out who I am as a person of faith in this day, in this age, with all of the other people of faith and not faith trying to figure out what it means to be human. Well, the road to Emmaus isn't just as simple as showing up one time. Because just as the disciples were walking and telling their stories, they're so focused on telling their own stories and their own little world and their own grief and their own kind of messiness of what this resurrection life meant for them, that they totally missed the risen Jesus in their midst, risen from the dead and walking with them. They couldn't recognize him. And this is where the Christian journey gets hard. Because the road to Emmaus, the journey of life and searching for Christ, is not as simple as just showing up on Sunday morning. In fact, Sundays may be one roadmap or one experience of how we hear about Christ, but it's the everyday moving and breathing, living and experiencing, not just who is immediately in front of us, but who else is all around us. Who else is on the road? Who else is on the journey? Who else is experiencing the road at the exact same time, but maybe on a different side of the road? Or instead of going to Emmaus, they're coming from Emmaus. Or maybe they're going at a much different pace than we are. Now, often when I picture this story, I only picture the two disciples talking to each other and then Jesus quietly appearing in their midst. Does anybody else picture that? Just the three of them, right? When really, the road to Emmaus was a major thoroughfare. There were probably a lot of people walking down the road at the exact same time. There were probably people pushing carts and riding donkeys and maybe some sort of carriage or situation. There have been lots of people coming and going from Emmaus to Jerusalem and from Jerusalem to Emmaus with stops along the way. It was like driving to Anchorage and seeing just how many people am I going to recognize at Wildman's on the stop, right? That's what saying it's only the three of them. It's like saying I'm the only person I know driving to Anchorage. When they have the construction around Portage and Indian, I have to look at everybody in the cars because I'm like, I know at least one person sitting in construction. That's what the road to Emmaus is like. It's not just a snapshot of three people in their own little bubble, but it's the world going on at the world's pace, which means some people are going and some people are coming. Some people are stopped and looking at the beautiful scenery. Some people cannot go fast enough. What are you discussing with each other as you walk along? You never quite know who is on the road with you at the same time, nor what they're going through. And this is the journey of faith. We're not all in one vehicle or even going the same direction. This journey of faith, this journey of life is like the road to Emmaus, where there are slow drivers and fast drivers, people pulled off to take some pictures, people stopping to go to the bathroom, people going alone, people in large groups, people who are rushing because someone they love is sick or dying, and people rushing because they just always rush. The road is filled with others on the journey. And no matter what or why or how we are getting through life or how we are doing this life, we're on the same road together. We have the opportunity, the invitation, to look for Christ in our midst. In the breaking of bread, both here at this table, but also in the sharing of a meal, perhaps at your dining room table or coffee table, perhaps at a restaurant or a community meal somewhere, the bread is broken and the meal is shared, even without always realizing we're sharing a meal, right? Because there are so many other people on that journey of figuring out where Christ is in their lives. Where is Christ being revealed in your journey? And what are we saying to each other about it? It's a question we ask when we hear of the disciples walking along the roadway and ultimately having the meal. What are you discussing with each other as you walk along? Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to please rise and join me in singing our hymn of the day, number 369.